Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. This is not Jane, Matt and Air. You might be wondering whose voice you're listening to. I am Joe Zepecki. Jane is extending the long weekend. Good for her. If she's listening, Jane, we miss you. You are missed, mostly by your number one fan in the studio, Aurora. And Greg, as I understand it, is in Washington, D.C. today. I hope he's staying out of trouble. I hope the weather there is cooperating. It is a beautiful Wisconsin day so far, although there are forecasts for another round of storms later today. Everybody stay safe out there. We are coming out of the long Memorial Day weekend. I hope that everyone had an opportunity to take some time, recharge their batteries, and also, very importantly, to reflect on the meaning of Memorial Day and why we have that day off of work. It is not just because it's the start of the summer. It is because many Americans have given the ultimate sacrifice, what former President Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion in service of this country. They are the reason for the holiday. We honor their sacrifice, their loss. We are thinking of the families of all of those who gave their life in service of this country. And with that, let's get into it. I'm sitting in today. It's been a while since Jane had me on the show, so I miss all of our listeners, and I'm an open book today. So if you want to ask Joe Zepecki, that's me, anything at all about the state of the world, about the state of our politics, hit us up on the text line. Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842, or on the Civic Media app. We have a big jam-packed hour for this first hour. We will be joined in just a few moments by State Senator LaTanya Johnson, or as I call her, the good Senator Johnson. This morning at the recombobulation area, you guys know Dan Schaefer, know him well. Dan's Substack, the recombobulation area, just posted a column from State Senator LaTanya Johnson about voting rights at this time in and moment in our history. According to the column, Senator Johnson had the opportunity recently to attend and participate in a roundtable discussion with Senator Tammy Baldwin on voting rights, where among the topics of conversation were two federal pieces of legislation, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Civil Rights Advancement Act, both pieces of legislation that Senator Baldwin has supported, is supporting currently, and are awaiting action. So we'll talk to Senator Johnson about that coming up in just a few minutes. We're also going to visit with Protect Our Care President Leslie Dock. Protect Our Care is an advocacy organization I've had the opportunity to work with over the years, designed to defend the Affordable Care Act. As we know, since that law was passed in 2011 and signed into law by former President Obama, Republicans have tried time and 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 time again to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They've failed. And they're not stopping, even though our current president, Joe Biden, and Democrats in Congress were able to build on the Affordable Care Act through the Inflation Reduction Act and continue to expand access and lower drug costs for millions of Americans. Leslie Dock is going to visit us to talk about some of what's been accomplished and some of what is at stake in regards to health care in this election season that we find ourselves in. A little closer to home in the second hour, we'll talk about some state politics issues, including some news today about an ongoing debate, maybe a nascent debate over Delta 8 in the state legislature. And of course, we will talk about the big story today outside of a federal courtroom, a state courtroom in Manhattan. The Biden campaign just held a little press conference with Communications Director Michael Tyler, Robert De Niro, and one of the January 6th heroic officers, Michael Fanone, as inside the courtroom, closing arguments are being made in what's been referred to as the hush money trial of former President Donald J. Trump. We will update you as those arguments are being made. We will talk about what it all means if a conviction comes back, if it's a hung jury. We can get into the politics of it, although hard for me to make the case that anything having to do with the rule of law ought to be about our politics, but hey, this is where we find ourselves in 2024. Again, feel free to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842, or on the Civic Media app. I am Joe Zepecki, in for Jane and Greg today. And I did want to share, before our first break, before we get into the conversation with State Senator LaTanya Johnson, some news that I did not expect this morning. I always forget that there is something called the corpse flower. What is that? I don't know. I just know it stinks to high heaven. And so if the corpse flower and really nasty smelling flowers are your thing, the corpse flower is in full bloom today at the Mitchell Park Domes. So go check it out if you're into that kind of thing. We've got a few minutes here before we get to State Senator LaTanya Johnson. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about what's going on in New York today. The Trump trial, the first one, has been going on for about a month. And the issue at stake here is, of course, the falsification of business records relating to the cover-up of an affair that Donald Trump had with adult actress Stormy Daniels, and the conspiracy to keep that information from voters before the 2016 election. That, to me, is what this is ultimately about, is a conspiracy to prevent voters from having full information before they cast their ballots in 2016. The hijinks around the 2020 election are far more understood, much more in people's faces. It feels more recent and relevant than the hijinks around the 2016 campaign. And a couple things on this. The first of which is, whatever verdict comes back from the jury, I don't think there's any question that Donald Trump had this affair. We heard very moving testimony from Stormy Daniels about that encounter. Pretty gross, in my opinion, I think in anybody's opinion. And at the time of that encounter, the president's third wife was home with his infant son, Barron, and that in and of itself is not behavior that anyone would condone from their son, their brother, their father, and yet many Americans are still ride or die for Donald Trump and say, this is all a witch hunt, as if there's nothing wrong with cheating on your wife while your wife is home with an infant, and then conspiring and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to prevent the world from finding out about this because you're worried about what it's going to mean for you politically. And the timing on this conspiracy is not an accident. This all happened, this came to a head after the Access Hollywood tape emerged in the 2016 election. That was about a month out, where former President Trump was caught on tape saying things I will not repeat on air because I don't want to be fined, but speaking totally out of pocket, totally inappropriately about his preferred method of interacting with women because he's a celebrity. And in the wake of that scandal, what we know is that the Republican Party and the high command of the Trump campaign was in full-on meltdown. Reince Priebus, the chair of the RNC at that time, was telling President Trump to drop out or face certain defeat. And so with that being the political reality, they scrambled to do everything they could to prevent additional shoes from dropping. They didn't want the American public to know about this Stormy Daniels affair, and we didn't find out about it until later. The voting happened in 2016 before we knew this. The assumption is that if you could hop in a time machine and rerun the 2016 campaign, where you had the Access Hollywood tape come out, and then you had that followed up very quickly by news that former President Trump had cheated on his wife with an adult entertainer while his wife was home with an infant, I will remind you again, that would have been it. That even people who were on the fence would have said, you know what, this is too much. This is not somebody with the character to be commander-in-chief or president of the United States. And they would have been right because of everything that we saw during President Trump's first term. And so the closing arguments here are being made. And so far we've heard from Trump's lawyers, the defense counsel, making their case. And I got to tell you, based on the reporting from the courtroom I'm seeing, they're not saying he's innocent. They're saying there's a technicality here. And they're not going for an acquittal. They're going for a hung jury. I imagine before we are done today, we will hear from the prosecution, at least some of their closing argument. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the other side, we should be joined by State Senator LaTanya Johnson. If you've got a few minutes before the break, head to the recombobulation area. Check out the new column from State Senator LaTanya Johnson. We're going to talk about it in just a minute after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Joe Zepecki in for Jane. We will be joined in just a moment here by State Senator LaTanya Johnson, who has a new column at the Recombobulation Area, working toward a more perfect union, the crucial need for voting rights legislation. As we work to get Senator Johnson hooked up and in the chat here, the good Senator Johnson here with us on Matt and Air on Air. I want to read you just a little bit of this. To give you a sense of the conversation we're going to have in this column, Senator Johnson calls for passage of the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, calling them crucial steps towards protecting our democracy. I'm copying and pasting and trying to get all of this out at the moment. But in the meantime, head to the recombobulation area. Dan Schaefer is often a guest and host on this program. So, you know, Dan, well, we love the recombobulation area and, we appreciate his, authorship and paying attention to the news, so that we can all be informed. All right. We will have Senator Johnson in just a moment here. Again, discussing the, column by State Senator LaTanya Johnson focused on two pieces of federal voting rights legislation. Senator Johnson was able to join a roundtable discussion with Senator Tammy Baldwin, I believe late last month, to talk about these issues. Among the things that Senator Johnson shares in this column is that she actually had the opportunity to meet the late, great John Lewis. We're hoping to ask her about that as soon as we get her on the horn here. In the meantime, I will remind everyone that you can join the conversation at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842, or on the Civic Media app. It's been a while since I've been around, so we are going to have an edition of Ask Joe Anything about the state of the world, about our politics, about the Trump v. Biden or Baldwin v. Hovde campaign, you name it. we can get into it. It's all fair game on the app. I think we may have the senator here. Senator, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry for being late. I had technical difficulties and could not get signed on.
That's okay. It is great to hear your voice. I hope you had a nice long weekend. Thanks so much for taking the time. Tell us, we have been talking about the column up now at the recombobulation area, but set the stage for us. This was a follow-on to an event that you did with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin late last month, focusing on voting rights. Tell us about that conversation and what you took away from it.
So it was a really interesting conversation with some phenomenal people that were on the panel. I was just so impressed by the different diversity that was on that stage. And basically, with all of us being on the stage, minority members of the community, the takeaway was that voting rights is important, especially for members of color and BIPOC communities, because for so many of our communities, the disparities that exist, the only way for us to get help for our communities is through legislation, especially bold acting legislation. And the only way to get to that is to make sure that we maintain the right to vote at the polls and to make sure that we can turn out as many people as possible to utilize that right to vote. And so there were a series of conversations and so much just really, really good information. I wish everyone could have just had an opportunity to witness this panel.
Yeah. You know, we've seen in the wake of the 2020 election, this big lie and so much disinformation that would be deliberately false information and then misinformation, mistakes that people make. And in that conversation, as I understand it, there were some local Wisconsin-focused challenges that election administrators face, that people are concerned about heading into this election. And at the federal level, there's obviously some things that have been done. The Electoral Count Act has been reformed in the wake of January 6th. And the argument that Senator Baldwin and her colleagues who are pushing these pieces of federal legislation makes, as I understand it, is two parts. First of which is, to restore faith in democracy, you have to prove that you can get something done to improve the democracy. And there are actual things in these bills that will help in terms of restoring the Voting Rights Act, which has been steadily, taken out limb from limb by the Roberts Court, getting rid of some of the dark money in our politics. Talk about what that message would send if we were able to pass federal legislation, because with a Republican-controlled legislature here in Wisconsin, we can't do it. What would it say to those communities you mentioned if at the federal level we were able to improve our elections?
It would say that their votes matter and that they're going to be protected. So many times, just going door to door here in Milwaukee, when you knock on those doors and you talk to voters, especially in disenfranchised communities, about the importance of voting and wanting to get them out so they can have their voices heard, so many people on the other side of those doors think that their votes don't matter and that they don't count because they see all of the things that my Republican colleagues do here just to try and keep them away from the polls and to keep their votes from counting. And the federal level, making sure that, that continues to be protected there at that level. I had the opportunity to meet John Lewis when he was alive at the red carpet for the rolling out of Selma. And just to hear his story and just to see him in person and know the struggles that he went through all those many years ago. And to know that a lot of those same struggles still exist. And it's not because we have a shortage of individuals who are willing to fight for us or who's willing to fight, period, to have those rights restored and to have them signed into law, it's because the people who have the power choose not to want that legislation to be in place because they want to keep fewer and fewer people who look like me and other BIPOC communities from voting. That's why it's so important to have Tammy Baldwin where she is, because we all know that our government a lot of times doesn't reflect the community. And when you don't have minorities in positions of power, the greatest thing that you can have is an ally. And that's what we found in Tammy.
Well said, Senator Johnson. The column is Working Toward a More Perfect Union, the Crucial Need for Voting Rights Legislation. You can read that online at the recombobulation area. Senator, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. We know you're busy. We will see you soon. Keep up the fight. We appreciate you very much. Come on back after this. More on Matt and Air on Air. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I am Joe Zepecki, your guest host in for Jane and Greg. They'll be back tomorrow, as I understand it. We've got some great questions coming in for the Ask Joe Anything segment we're going to do a little bit later in the show. If you want to join the conversation, it's 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842 or on the Civic Media app. Before we get to Ross from Crawford County or Cam and Nina or Sue from the 414, we are joined by a distinguished guest, Mr. Leslie Dock from Protect Our Care. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. Glad to see you.
Good to see you. Hope you got some nice rest over the long weekend. Leslie Dock is the president of Protect Our Care, an advocacy organization founded to defend the Affordable Care Act, and these days celebrate some of the successes in building on the Affordable Care Act. I want to start there because there's some new Navigator polling out on the issue of healthcare that surveyed people on what they think of what President Joe Biden and Democrats in Congress were able to get done via the Inflation Reduction Act. Walk us through that polling and what you think it means.
Well, I think it shows once again why healthcare is such an important issue to Americans. I mean, I think we all know this ourselves and our families. If somebody gets sick, comes down with cancer, it takes over our lives. We worry. We worry about their health. We worry about the bills. And it doesn't matter what political party you're in, where you live, what you do for a living. It is the kitchen table issue, particularly when things go south. And in all of our families, things go south.
Yeah.
It's also the cost of healthcare puts people into bankruptcy, and not to mention severe anxiety. And so at a time where people are worried about the cost of living, being able to, Joe Biden being able to reduce the cost of health insurance or reduce the cost of drugs is a understandable and meaningful answer to the pressure people face economically. And then the third part of this kind of triangle is that there's incredible contrast between what the Democrats have done and propose to do and what Donald Trump has done and proposes to do. So when you put those things together, it becomes a very potent political issue and a very potent issue in people's lives. So just on the specifics of the polling, there are a number of quite interesting findings. First, reducing the price of prescription drugs is ranked as Joe Biden's number one accomplishment in his presidency.
And this is an accomplished president.
It is an accomplished president. But it just shows how deeply these issues pierce. The other thing is that it's incredibly bipartisan. So that giving Medicare the power to negotiate for lower prices, capping the insulin at $35 a month, those have 80 to 90% approval ratings with Republicans, independents, and Democrats, no matter where you live. And so it's sort of no surprise, too, that it's an issue that you can campaign on no matter where you're campaigning. So if you're in cold country, you can talk about healthcare. If you're in rural America, you can talk about healthcare. If you're in urban America, you can talk about healthcare. And it's a very rare political issue that polls in the 80s, no matter what demographic location you go to. So it's not a surprise that in the studies of where Democrats are advertising in, at the beginning of this campaign, that healthcare is right below abortion in terms of the spend.
Another critical healthcare issue.
Another critical healthcare issue. So the, and then and the last thing we've now seen is that in the past, people would say, well, maybe the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was a highly unpopular and kind of almost a political punching bag. I worked at HHS as senior counselor to the health Secretary of Health and Human Resources for the first open enrollment that occurred after the little problem we had with the webpage, and at a time when Republicans controlled the Congress. And all we were trying to do was to keep the thing above water and show that it could actually work. And Barack Obama always said that it would be, it will be part of the fabric of America. And that's what's happened now. So it's actually, it's the law itself is quite popular.
Indeed. I want to make sure we don't forget some of these things. I don't want our listeners to miss the point. So in the Inflation Reduction Act, a couple of things happened. So from right now, the law of the land, if you are a senior on Medicare, you will not pay more than $35 a month out of pocket for your insulin. That was one of the first provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act that went into effect. People are already feeling that. And as I understand it, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Leslie, but in the wake of this, we have seen some of the drug makers cap at $35 for people who aren't on Medicare, for younger consumers. Talk about how widely spread that's been. Was that an expected outcome of all this?
It was hoped for, but it shows them reading. Well, first it shows their greed because they can make money at $35.
Yep.
And they were charging us hundreds of dollars.
Indeed.
And secondly, it shows the fact that they're incredibly unpopular.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are sick and tired of paying four times for these drugs in America as anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. We've got a gentleman here in Wisconsin who actually is appearing in an ad with Senator Tammy Baldwin right now. It was a great story to tell. The first day his pharmacy opened, I believe it was in January of 2023, when the $35 cap went into effect, he was the first in line, first at the register, you know, expecting that $35. They hadn't even pushed that through the system yet, and he had to explain to the person checking him out, oh no, there's a new law. You can't charge me more than $35 for this. So we know that people were expecting it, they're excited about it, and it's had an impact. And then Leslie Dock, who is the president of Protect Our Care and is with us on Matt and Air on Air, you also mentioned Medicare drugs. So explain to folks what is happening to lower the cost of drugs and why this is so important that Medicare can finally negotiate for lower drug costs. Give us a little bit of the history and where we go on this.
You know, for years, basically, Medicare has been barred by law from negotiating with the drug companies for lower prices. Now, you know, think about this. Walmart gets to negotiate with suppliers. Target gets to negotiate with their suppliers. They just don't accept the price. But Medicare, 65 million Americans, basically had to pay whatever the drug companies wanted to charge. And it was outrageous. And the Republicans in the House and the Senate fought this tooth and nail, taking the side of the big drug companies. But now, and we've this year, 10 of the most expensive drugs that many people pay tens of thousands of dollars a year for will now have a negotiated price. And we expect to see those prices come substantially down. And every year we'll be negotiating for more. All the while, maintaining all the incentives for innovation and discovery that the drug companies have today. And you know, there are others that we should slow down and mention too. Free essential vaccines, shingles, pneumonia, oftentimes costing people hundreds of dollars a shot, now free. Also, the total amount of spending that any one person can spend out of pocket for drugs will be capped at $2,000 a year beginning in January 1st. If you're a cancer patient, taking multiple very expensive medicines, that's a lifesaver and a bankruptcy saver for people.
Yeah. So that's sort of what's been done. And one of the things that Protect Our Care has been warning about and is communicating about these days is the fact that despite the fact it's been 13 years, despite the fact that Obamacare now is sort of ingrained in our American culture, it is just, it's a normal course of business. If you don't have employer-sponsored coverage, you go into the marketplace, you buy a plan, you can get a plan for as little as $10 a month. That's all, it's just the way we live now. Despite that, Protect Our Care is warning about ongoing efforts by Donald Trump and other Republicans to sabotage the Affordable Care Act. Why are we concerned that that this could still be sabotaged after 13 years?
Well, because if, you know, depending on this election, outcome of this election, that's why elections are so important. If you want affordable health care, if you want your health care premiums to go down, not up, if you want the cost of drugs to go down, not up, the voters face a very clear choice. But if Donald Trump is already set on the stump, one of the first things he'll do is to try and repeal the Affordable Care Act. The MAGA members of the House and the Senate are lining up behind that. So, you know, if the MAGA Republicans are in charge of America, there's no doubt that they will take the side of the insurance companies and the drug companies and roll this all back.
One of the things I like to remind people is that I'm old enough to remember that during President Trump's 4 years in office, they got halfway to repealing the Affordable Care Act. And they were so pleased with themselves, they held a dang pep rally outside the White House with Paul Ryan and every Republican member of Congress who voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. So Republicans controlled Congress. They had a Republican in the White House. How close did we get? What happened in the United States Senate to save the Affordable Care Act? Was it a slam dunk? Was it a big win? Or did we hang on by the skin of our teeth?
It was by the skin of John McCain's thumb that we, this country, you know, kept the Affordable Care Act and all the benefits that
one vote, get from it.
One vote. At 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's not forget too, let's fast forward. We're in a situation now where not a single Republican in the Senate voted to lower drug prices. Not a single Republican in the Senate voted to cap the cost of insulin. Not a single Republican in the Senate voted to make health insurance more affordable for people. So this is not, you know, in the past. Unfortunately, this could very much be in our future.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people also, the Affordable Care Act does other things which people should never forget, which is 160 million people in America with pre-existing conditions who can get insurance today. That would be gone.
Can't be discriminated against. That's the thing. I'm old enough to remember, but barely, that in the before times, if you got sick, the health insurance company could just not anymore. We're not going to cover you anymore.
Yeah, and sick could be nothing. Doesn't mean you were near death.
Right. It's just crazy. So this matters, I think, in a way that people have yet to really tune into. And so, number one, all of the Affordable Care Act is at risk if former President Trump wins, if Republicans have control of Congress, and also the measures that Leslie was just talking about, the $35 a month insulin cap. Do we have any reason to expect that Republicans wouldn't also repeal everything in the Inflation Reduction Act?
Well, they've said that's their goal. And it's not only what Donald Trump talks about. It's, you know, all the official organs of MAGA World who are putting out, you know, what, you know, their version of what America should look like when Trump wins. And all of this is included in there, not to mention gutting Medicaid, taking away protections for pre-existing conditions. I mean, they run the, you know, they want to roll back everything that we've accomplished. And the American people have gotten used to kids who could be on their parents' insurance, parents who have a sick baby who otherwise would have left the hospital with a pre-existing condition and never be insured their entire lives. Yeah. These things will just come back to hit us again.
We have to believe these folks when they tell us who they are. And when we look at the 4 years of Trump the first time, every budget President Trump put forward proposed slashing Medicaid and Medicare. And so, you know, people seem to like memory hole or forget this stuff. It is our job to remind folks what is at stake. As Leslie started off with, healthcare is a kitchen table issue. It matters. We've been talking with Leslie Dock. He's the president of Protect Our Care. We've got about a minute before the break. Leslie, any last words for people in terms of why this is so important and what they should be thinking about?
Just think about your own families, your own pocketbooks. Think about what happens when people are sick in your family. What happens to you when you can't afford the drugs you need to stay alive, and ask yourself whether you want to go back there.
Well said. That was Leslie Dock. Leslie, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Joe Zepecki, in for Jane. We're going to get to the text line after the break, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to join the conversation, come on back after this. Thanks, Leslie.
See you.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Joe Zepecki, in for Jane and Joe. Many thanks to Protect Our Care's Leslie Dock for joining us in the last segment. Many thanks again to State Senator LaTanya Johnson, the good Senator Johnson, for joining us to talk about her new column at the Recombobulation Area. That, of course, is our buddy Dan Schaefer. The column from Senator LaTanya Johnson is about voting rights. And you can find it at the recombobulationarea.news. The column by Senator LaTanya Johnson is, I've got it here. It's got to be here somewhere. There you go. Working toward a more perfect union, the crucial need for voting rights legislation. We've got one more segment here before the top of the hour. Going to get to the text line as promised. It's been a while since Jane had me on. I don't know. I thought I was off her Christmas card list or something. But here I am filling in. So it's Ask Joe Anything Day. If you have a question for me, you can hit us up on the text line. You can use the Civic Media app for that, or you can hit 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. The first question that rolled in this morning is from Ross in Crawford County. Thanks for listening, Ross. Wondering about what Trump would be able to accomplish if the Senate stays in the hands of the Democratic Party. What can he do via executive power on healthcare or immigration? Something like electric vehicle and electric power incentives. There's a couple things here. The first of which is, if Donald Trump wins, he will have immense power via the administrative state to influence the implementation of laws like the Inflation Reduction Act, like the Affordable Care Act. We know that during President Trump's first term, for example, the number of Americans on Obamacare plummeted by a couple million. And that's as simple as the federal government choosing not to do some of the proactive outreach and marketing to tell people, hey, it's an open enrollment period to sign up for healthcare and get covered. So no matter what the makeup of Congress is, Donald Trump, if elected and if president again, will be able to, what I would say is sort of hamper the implementation of some of these things, ranging from healthcare to other provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act, dealing with building out EV infrastructure, implementing some of the climate provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act. So with or without Congress, Trump is going to have the ability to impact that stuff, and people need to understand that. Now, the other part of this is, what about the Senate? What about the Congress? There's no guarantee that if Donald Trump wins, either house is a democratically controlled body. And so, particularly in the United States Senate, where the map for Democrats is terrible, absolutely terrible. Right now, we have a 50-50 split. Vice President Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. So Democrats control Congress. Democrats are playing defense across the country, trying to hold on to seats in states that have been pretty red, like Montana, like Ohio, where you've got John Tester and Sherrod Brown, great incumbent U.S. senators in really, really tough states. If we lose those two seats on the Democratic side, it will be a Republican-controlled Senate. even if those incumbent Democratic senators win re-election in tough states, we now have a wild card that nobody expected out of Maryland, where a very popular two-term governor, Republican Larry Hogan, might actually pull an upset in a blue state. And so there's no guarantee what the Congress is going to look like. And that's part of why people need to understand what Donald Trump is proposing to do if he wins. Because with or without Congress, and he's going to probably have at least one chamber of Congress if he wins, the implications for the American people are very real. This is not a game. There will be real world impacts. Thanks for the question, Ross. Hope that got to some of it. If you want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. Next up, we've got Cam from Nina with a report based on reporting from the courtroom in Manhattan. Blanche is making the argument currently that, and he's paraphrasing, because the proof of the crime wasn't destroyed, that means no crime was committed, because if it was, they would have destroyed the proof. Cam feels like he has a cat clawing at his cerebellum. I concur that that's a pretty crazy argument to make, that if we had committed a crime, we would have been smart enough criminals to destroy the evidence. The reality is, this is a paper case. And what that means is, it is not Michael Cohen or Stormy Daniels' word against the word of Donald Trump. How could it be against the word of Donald Trump, because he refused to take the stand in his own defense? It's a paper case where there are actual physical documents that demonstrate the crime that was committed, which is that they wrote checks and said they were for one thing, and then in other places wrote down that they actually were for something else, that this wasn't about legal services to Michael Cohen. This was about withholding information from the American people. And, you know, it's like there's a saying in American politics, the cover up is worse than the crime. What it sounds like Blanche is arguing is like they would have covered it up had they known they broke the law. I don't think that's a defense. I don't find that particularly persuasive, but hey, that's just me. You are listening, of course, to Matt and Air on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a couple of more texts to get to in the next hour, and we will. And we'd appreciate some more. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or you can text us through the Civic Media app. You might be listening to us over the air. Give us a call if you want. That's not just a text line. It is also a phone call. We'd love to hear your voice. We, as we wrap up this first hour, want to thank one more time State Senator LaTanya Johnson for joining us. Check out her column on voting rights at the Recombobulation Area, making the case for federal legislation, the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, both of which are co-sponsored by and supported by our own Senator Tammy Baldwin. LaTanya Johnson participated in a roundtable where they discussed that. She summarized that conversation and shared some of her thoughts in that column. And of course, we want to thank Leslie Dock for Protect Our Care, for really laying out some of the stakes when it comes to healthcare this election season. It is all on the line, folks. And that gets to Ross's question. We know one of two gentlemen is going to be president starting in 2025. It's going to be Joe Biden or it's going to be Donald Trump. Your choices are chicken or fish. The problem is the fish is poisoned with mercury, so you probably don't want to eat that. So thank you to Leslie. Thank you to you, the listeners. We've got one more hour to go. I'm Joe Zepecki in for Jane and Greg. Come on back for hour number two. We're not going anywhere. Before you go.